Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 13th of February, day before Valentine's Day. We're having our open line for February right smack dab in the middle of the month and right here, right now. Welcome your phone calls, suggestions for programs. Give us some great ideas and we'll follow through. And here's our number. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 for those of you who are joining us in Milwaukee. In case you can't call by phone today, let me give you my email address, Rhonda's email address. We always welcome your suggestions. You've given us some top-notch ideas that have found their way on the air, and it's also a good idea to find out what you're thinking about. It's always fun to do these open lines. Right, John Treader? John is our on-air producer who gets pretty busy during these phone times. Well, let me give you the email address. It's Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org, Fanning Rhonda. But that's not the email. It's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. We welcome your suggestions always, and thanks very much for them. Let's go right to let me tell you, the second hour of the program today, we're going to do another energy show. As you recall, the president in his State of the Union address announced a $1.2 billion research initiative so that the first car driven by a child born today could be powered by hydrogen and would be pollution-free. We're going to look at whether or not hydrogen can save America and hydrogen can save the world. That will be the second hour of our program today. We'll have a couple different perspectives. Okay, to your phone calls for our open line. We start with Bill from Deerfield. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Bill.
How's it going?
Well, you know, I'm looking outside, and we're having a little blizzard downtown. But
I think we turned the corner, though, as far as temperatures.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. My suggestion is if you could get a historian maybe from the UW or someone who's familiar with the Nuremberg trials, I think with the information that's coming out now about the intelligence, the manipulation of intelligence before this war, it's pretty clear that we have a war of aggression. And it's my understanding that the Nuremberg trials, the surviving Nazis, even though they killed 6 million Jews, Gypsies, and homosexuals, the first charge against them wasn't genocide. That was the third charge. The first charge against them was waging aggressive war. And I think what we have here is the perfect example of an aggressive war. So I'd like to have someone give a historical perspective of how those charges were come to and what treaties the United States has signed on to and what the ramifications of waging aggressive war are.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for your call. John is next from Madison. Hi, John.
Hi. Two suggestions. On the Sunday Tim Russert show, I heard the House majority and minority leaders say that the public doesn't want complete public funding of the campaigns. And this is not true, you know. But what struck me was that this was a Democrat that was saying this. You know, the public doesn't want to spend $1 to $2 billion a year to fund the campaigns, but we want to let the corporations control our legislature so that we pay hundreds of billions of dollars as compared to the $1 to $2 billion following their prerogatives. In other words, nobody wants to see our legislative process made a bordello by K Street. So I would like to hear public funding again addressed. There was a recent critique by Putin, the head of Russia, regarding the United States' military strategy, and he said that the U.S. is leading us into a complete arms race again. And the recent example in China is they shot down one of their satellites preparing for satellite war. So I would like to hear a Russian diplomat discuss the complete critique Putin made against this country, because I think his critique is absolutely valid. And I think this is something that we don't discuss anywhere, is what should our national security objectives. We receive this from on high, but we never discuss this in a democratic fashion. So I wish you'd get somebody on to do this.
All right, John. Thank you. Buck is next from Madison. Hello, Buck.
Hey.
Hey.
Call. I've got two suggestions.
Okay.
One is to follow up on the first caller about illegal war and all that stuff. The Pentagon itself issued a report on Douglas fights neocon office and said that all of the intelligence they were providing was either distorted or an outright lie. Nobody should go to jail, says the Pentagon, but it was inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It was worse than that. So do a report on this.
Okay.
And then talk about whether neocons should be, from now on, scorned off the radio. Okay?
All right,
Buck. That's my first one.
All right.
The second is that a local guy, a Mexican-American with a green card, has been here forever. He went to a party in Mexico and is in jail, thanks to Sensenbrenner's work, right? He's not let back in because of a drug charge he never contested something like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Tomas Contreras.
Mm-hmm.
So do a show on that. Tammy Baldwin and Russ Feingold are bending their backs to get him released. Okay. So please do a show on him.
All right, Buck.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for your call. Linda from Monroe. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. I enjoy these open lines. I agree with what John had to say earlier, too. I've got two issues. My first one is we're reading a good book right now. It's called Spoiling for a Fight, The Rise of Elliot Spitzer by Brooke Masters. Now, either Mr. Spitzer or Brooke Masters make a good guess. Now, Elliot Spitzer, he was the Attorney General in New York, and he's now the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And my second issue, get Ann Sayers. She's with the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she likes to, on a statewide basis, she's trying to get the legislature to pass things that will help our environment, just like Al Gore's trying to do on a worldwide basis with his movie on global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she'd make a good guest.
Okay. It's a good suggestion.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Bye. Mike is next from Milwaukee. Hello, Mike. Hi, Mike. Are you there?
Are you looking for Frank?
No, I was looking for Mike, but I guess Mike is Frank, so we're just a little
you
mixed
got
up.
Frank.
Hi,
right.
Frank.
First of all, I had a couple suggestions. I'd like to see a regular segment. I don't know if it's a daily thing, but maybe two or three times a week you have people. I'm personally a massage therapist, personal trainers, nutritionist. I'd like to see a show dedicated exclusively to healthy lifestyle choices, you know, exercise, nutrition, preventive health, and maintenance type related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just organic gardening, you know, just any healthy cooking, you know, anything that could be, and I've heard topics like this on your show, I'd like to see it more frequently. And now that I've heard some of the first suggestions, I'm going to throw out another one. Maybe another regular segment on third party, you know, people who are doing something to avoid the vitriolic diatribe that goes on between the Democrats and Republicans and just people who are really interested in changing the political process rather than harping and participating in the politics of prostitution that goes on in Madison and Washington. Because I think it's Democrats and Republicans who are guilty, and until we get a viable third party, they're just going to be doing business as usual and selling themselves and us and our votes and to the highest bidder.
Okay.
So I guess just healthy lifestyle choices and, you know, include that in the political process. You know, people who want to make a difference, not just maintain the status quo and point the finger across the aisle because it's both sides of the aisle that are corrupt.
All right, Frank. Thanks for your call. Jane is next from DePere. Hi, Jane.
Hello. I'm calling about child support, and I'd like somebody from the child support system to come on and explain what our rights are and what their responsibilities are.
Okay. All right, an explanation of examination of the child support system. All right.
Well,
thanks, Jane.
Wait, I want to say, my daughter's 21, and we're owed $40,000, and he has six girls, my daughter being the first, and now they explain to me that she is, I will not be paid the $40,000 until his youngest child turns 18. So he will be 58 years old before I will get any child support. And for 21 years, I've been waiting for them to get him to get a job,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't done it. And now all of a sudden they're saying that
mm-hmm.
I won't get the money.
Okay, Jane. Thanks very much for the call. We do get calls frequently when we have open lines to do an examination of the child support system. So we will put that on our list. Keith is next from Madison. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Kathleen. I would recommend you having Zbigniew Brzezinski on.
Yeah. Good idea.
Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. He testified in front of the Foreign Relations Committee a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was suggesting that this administration is planning an attack within the United States, and they were going to blame it on Iran. He was asked by Barry Gray, a reporter for the World Socialist website, whether or not this was the case, whether they were going to blame an attack within the United States on Iran, and he was extremely evasive. He would not answer yes or no to the question. But he was raising all kinds of red flags about what this administration has on the agenda, and it would be wonderful if you would have him on.
Uh-huh. All right, Keith, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye. Bye.
Monica from Appleton, hi.
Good morning. Please, I would like to know how many U.S. taxpayer dollars are being spent around the world in countries like Israel, Egypt, Jordan, freebies like. And thank you very much.
Okay, where our foreign aid money is going. All right, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. February 13, open line is what's happening this hour. We value your suggestions for programs you'd like to hear, topics you'd like to have on the air from 9 to 11. And you can call us, and we'll write them down and follow through on some of them. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, we'll be doing a show on hydrogen. What is its long-term potential? Back to phone calls now. Open line, 800-486-8655. Jean from Appleton, hi.
Yeah, hi. Earlier this week, on Larry Miller, they were talking about the time when Ken Vogelman was news director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and that he used to read editorials from major newspapers such as the Christian Science Monitor and New York Times, various papers, during his news presentations, because he had a good long period of time. And I was thinking it would be great if once in a while, or maybe once a week, you would select major editorials and read them or have somebody else read them during the first half hour of your program, and then in the second half hour have people call in and comment on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my idea for a program.
All right, Jean. It's an interesting one. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for the call. We go to Carol next from Mequon. Hi, Carol.
Hi. On the heels of something that was on C-SPAN over the weekend, it was called The State of Black America.
I watched that. I was captivated by it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to have Tavis Smiley be a guest on the show.
We've been trying to get Tavis Smiley on this show for a long time, and we just have been striking out. So we'll try again, but... But, yeah, I'd love to have him on. And there were so many panelists on that State of Black America program that I thought would be terrific guests. So
yeah,
I wrote them down.
And if anyone wants to see that, they can actually go to C-SPAN and actually, I guess, you know, see it on their website. So
great.
If anybody's curious.
Yeah, it was quite a show, wasn't it? And the place was, packed, absolutely packed. Yeah, I caught it kind of by surprise because I didn't know it was going to be on, and I was looking for coverage of the Barack Obama announcement, and there was this terrific show on C-SPAN. So I normally don't watch television on Saturday morning, but I just plopped on down with a cup of coffee and got a notebook and took some notes.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Carol, for your call. 800-486-8655. Tom from Burlington. Hello.
Good morning. Along that line here, maybe I have two ideas, but along that line, maybe we could announce that everybody watches the show, and then the next day you devote an hour to it.
Oh, that'd be fun. We could have all... Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Well, the thing is, tonight they're having a big show on the front line. It's having an expose on the press and the lead up to the war. So that might be a thing that everybody could talk about tomorrow or something.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, focused on it. The idea that I have that I might be interesting for a show is, how can we get education into our prisons? We have 2 million people sitting in prison, rotting in prison, and we've got a captive audience there, and they sit around all day watching soap operas when they could be, you know, getting remedial reading or something. And this idea with Japan has this, they call it recidivism, I can't say the word, but the return to jail, they have a very low rate because they educate these the inmates and give them some kind of a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe do it from the point of view, is there some kind of racism, sub-level of racism that doesn't want this group to be educated? So it might be an interesting topic.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Karen from Green Bay. Hi, Karen.
Yes, I'm on my cell phone, so I hope you can hear me.
Yes, just fine, thanks.
Okay. I am concerned about this Cancer Centers of America that you see on TV, that about their cure rate and everything. But my concern is, you know, I've talked to someone who they were going to sell their house and everything because you need like $25,000 to $30,000 put down or given to them before they'll even have an appointment with you. And then there's no guarantee, and then it's another amount for, you know, after you're going to do treatment or anything, and I don't think insurance covers that first amount. And I just wonder, how valid is that? And should there be questions asked? And if this is available, why is there such a cost for people to save their lives?
This is advertised. I'm not familiar with this. It's advertised on television?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just something that comes across about Cancer Centers of America. I went to the doctor, and he said, well, there's no chance for you. You know how cancer is. Most people die.
Mm.
She went to Cancer Centers of America,
And
now she's cured, and everything's good. And,
right.
You know, it's the best place if you have cancer,
mm-hmm. But
it's not really accessible to, like, the general public. So it's really discouraging
mm-hmm. To
see that and then know you can't get that.
Right. All right, Karen.
And then, I heard the end of the other man's thing about the jails and the education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the thing is a lot of the people in jail have attention deficit and have learning problems and disabilities, and that's kind of why sometimes they're in there, mm-hmm. Because they haven't succeeded in general education.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just throwing education at them isn't always going to be effective. That's
all right,
all.
Karen. Thanks, Karen.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stella from Sturgeon Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I would like to suggest that you interview John Nichols, who is associate editor at the Capital Times and also writes for The Nation.
Mm-hmm.
He recently published a book called The Genius of Impeachment. It's a wonderful, it's just a riveting book, and he's an excellent speaker. It would be a wonderful hour.
Okay. Did you hear the show we did with John just a couple weeks ago when Molly Ivins died?
I caught part of it, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. He is a wonderful speaker. We haven't talked. Hold on.
I think it's very timely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I just sneezed. I've never had to sneeze on the editor of my mic. Achoo. We haven't talked to John. I know Gene Faraca had him on with his book, The Genius of Impeachment. But
that was on during the pledge drive, and there were only a few minutes of it.
It really
deserves a full hour.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Stella. Goodbye. 800-486-8655. Dennis from Appleton. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to hear a representative from New York to see what's up with the property where the Twin Towers once stood from the terrorist attack.
Uh-huh.
Because I haven't really heard anything about that and what they're going to do with it. And I was just kind of wondering about that. And then a book that Ann Coulter just put out called Godless America. If you could get her on, that'd be really neat.
Okay. Thanks.
All right,
Dennis. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Michael from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I love you guys' shows.
Great.
So much. And it seems like such an exotic place to hear about Wisconsin. I love it when there's something local in Wisconsin. So I was wondering, you know when Stephen Colbert does his Better Know a District?
Yes, sure.
I was wondering if maybe you could, you know, whenever pull in your Wisconsin state representatives and have them talk about their district, what's going on in their district, the local issues in their district, how they see the state handling what's going on in their district, and you know, just that better know the district.
Okay. What do you do down there in Phoenix? You got to be living here, Michael.
Well, there's this thing called bitter cold.
Yeah.
That I don't handle well.
I see.
I decided winter is optional in my life.
Uh huh.
So I don't do winter.
Okay.
But otherwise, I would. I actually love Wisconsin and the Upper Midwest this summer.
Oh, there's no place like it. No place like it. I think it's kind of a neat idea. I like this idea. And then we could do kind of a humorous thing with it. I mean, somewhat serious, but a little humorous as well.
Yeah,
it's all right. It's a good one.
Well, thanks.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Uh-huh. Goodbye. Mark from Milwaukee. Hi.
Yes. There's a couple authors that have put out some articles about material resistance, E. coli. The problems that we've had this last year with the spinach and then the lettuce and the other produce, that E. coli strain was produced from the practice of giving cattle antibacterial agents that did their growth and increased milk production. It turns out that bacteria live in the five stomachs of the cow, and they can increase their body mass, increase the rate of body mass absorption, and increase milk production by giving them antibiotics. So it's just a money thing. And what it's doing is it's breeding this strain of E. coli that is deadly because we have nothing left to fight it with. They're giving this cattle Cipro, which is one of the strongest antibiotics known to man, just to increase their body mass. Meantime, they're producing literally tons of manure laden with this E. coli strain that we have nothing to fight it with.
I'm not sure if that's the whole reason for the E. coli problems. We've done several shows on that, but this idea of the antibiotics we're feeding to cattle, et cetera, would be a good show. So.
Right. Well, there was an author, and I sent Fanning an email for that author.
Okay.
This author states that the reason that we're having deadly E. coli is stuff that we can't fight with our antibiotics is that they've already grown immune to it, living in stomachs of cattle.
Right, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, Mark. Thanks.
Okay,
thanks very
sure.
much for the
yeah.
call.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Bye.
James from Richland Center. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
I would like to hear something about family disaster preparedness.
Okay.
Now, given what's happened to the good folks down in New Orleans and the lack of coordination on the part of state, local, and federal governments, what happens to a small community like mine when we get a 30-day snowstorm? What can an individual do to prepare his family for such an emergency?
Mm-hmm.
And I use snowstorm just as a
right. Because it's snowing right now, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, what technologies are readily available off the shelf, and what kind of strategy and planning would it take a family to put aside what it would take them to survive 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Probably more than duct tape, right?
I forgot to put that on the list.
You're not well stocked with that? All right.
Okay,
all
yeah,
right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Richard from Madison. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I understand Governor Doyle has made it easier for individuals to start cooperatives. And a lot of artists in the area, I know, struggle because it'd be easier for local artists, whatever the medium is, to bond together to try and work in one area and share the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So either cooperatives, non-for-profit organizations, if as another thought, the discussions of studio schools, in the Madison area. I know there's a lot of talk about that in the K through 5 area. That's entirely another subject, but I'd like to see something about cooperatives and not-for-profit organizations.
Okay. Do you have a source on that, Richard?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I know there is a mention in the Capital Times yesterday about Nancy Donahue, I believe it was, who was discussing studio schools, but as far as the cooperatives, I really don't. I know there are a number of people that are potters especially that are turning some of a some local area buildings into shared facilities and starting cooperatives. One of our clients is a potter and working in that medium, and she's had a lot of input on that, and in fact has decided to discuss that with some of the people that she throws pots with and get back to me. But I really don't have any resource myself.
Okay. All right. Good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Tom is next. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Kathleen. I would like to suggest that we have something, perhaps a professor from the university in the Department of Geology discuss Wisconsin's ancient history. I've been reading a lot on geology lately, and it just really surprised me that we have such an incredible ancient history in our own state. And I one name I can remember is LaBarge, and I believe that he is from the university.
From Madison or from?
Yeah, Madison.
Okay.
LeBarge.
LeBarge. Hey, we're just talking up Wisconsin today, huh? This is good. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Tom, for the call. We go next to Peter from Milwaukee. Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, Peter. You?
I'm great.
Good.
I would like to discuss stopping the war on drugs.
Okay.
The United States is spending a fortune of money to interdict and to try to burn up fields and the like. Most of the terrorism in the Middle East is funded by Afghan drug money. The money is running out of the United States at unprecedented rates. Almost all of our prisoners, 90-some percent of all prisoners in the United States, are there for drug-related crimes. Drugs only became illegal in 1938 with the passage of the Harrison Tax Act. Most of the violence in the streets and the crimes in our neighborhood are drug-related because These drugs are really commodities, like sugar. They're so cheap. We've driven up the price of these products. We're causing havoc in our entire country. We have very little money for drug treatment. So the answer seems to be stop spending all this money, reduce the price of the drugs. Let people who want to use drugs until they're ready for treatment. They're going to use them anyway, except that they're going to use pistols and hitting people on the head to get the money.
Okay. All right. A show on the war on drugs. That's a good suggestion, Peter. We haven't done anything along those lines in a long time. So you're on. Thanks for the call. Kathy from – oh, I'm sorry. It's not Kathy. It's Kathy from Wauwatosa. There we go. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I would like to have Senator Feingold on.
So would I.
And what I'd really like him to talk about is the U.S. embassy that we've built in Iraq and the military bases that we've built over there. I find it very interesting that you don't hear much about that. You hear supposedly that we're building schools and hospitals and trying to rebuild the infrastructure in Iraq, yet the American public never sees any evidence of that, and we never see any pictures on the news. You hear very little of it, and I would like to know more about that.
All right. I know everybody has calls in. All the hosts have calls in to Feingold's office, so that I hope he will appear somewhere in the not-too-distant future.
I think that would be wonderful. I think it would be important for the American people to know more about this embassy that we've supposedly spent millions of dollars over there, and supposedly, I know a lot of it's missing, but have sent billions of dollars over to do rebuilding, and yet we've seen absolutely no evidence of it.
All right, Kathy. Thanks very much for your call.
Okay.
Let's go to Denny next from Madison. Hi, Denny.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Say, I think an interesting program would be the way history, political history in America has just repeated itself from the, like, the robber baron perspective since the time of the Civil War on, and maybe ways that it can be, I don't know if I could even say halted, but interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it goes on and on every year. And I support that other listener that called in about the war on drugs, too.
Okay.
And what a waste of energy it seems to be.
Okay. Yeah, we should take that on. So you're looking at a gap between the rich and the poor, more or less? Or are you looking at...
Well, that's what it leads to, doesn't
okay.
it? But
mm-hmm.
It seems like since the time railroads were driven west and just how corrupt our federal government and, you know, people down the lines from them have short-sticked a lot of people who didn't deserve it just
mm-hmm.
so that they can get more and more and more for themselves. And the rest of us really are kept at arm's length. We can't do anything about it. I feel hopeless and helpless.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people do.
Okay, Danny. Thanks. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Thank you.
Our number is 800-486-8655. One line is open if you'd like to join us. It's our open line for the month of February. So call with your suggestions. If you can't get through this morning, you can always send us emails. My email is dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org, or email Rhonda Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. You can just email both of us, and we'll keep track of your ideas, and we might use some of them. All right, let's go next to Irene. Hi, Irene.
Good morning, Kathleen. I would like to hear a show on Blackwater. I've been watching the hearing in Washington, and it's really something. We are paying $850,000 out of our Pentagon money to this corporation per contractor. And Halliburton gets 35% off of the top. And then it goes down to other people and gets down, and these soldiers are making, or these contractors that work with our soldiers are making like $200,000 a
mm-hmm.
year.
Okay.
And I think this would really be something. I didn't know any of this till last week.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we're paying for them, and our soldiers that they're working with are making 30, 40, that whatever they're making mm. a year. But the point is Halliburton is the one making 35% out of every $850,000 per individual.
Mm-hmm. So you were listening to the Waxman hearings?
Yes.
Okay. We haven't followed through on that. It's come up in conversation last week when we were talking about hearings, but not a full show on that. It's a good idea.
It's a really good idea because I listen all the time to you all day long. I have public radio on, and I did not know it was $850,000.
All right. Thanks, Irene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
Susie from Seneca. Hi, Susie.
Hi. I wanted to suggest an organization called Veterans for America. It's made up of a mix of Vietnam veterans, Gulf War veterans, and Iraq War veterans that are very good at speaking on the issues affecting veterans today. And also one of their members, his name is Jonathan Powers, served as a captain in Iraq, and he started a charity for Iraqi children. So I think he would also be someone that you would find interesting.
Is he from Wisconsin?
Jonathan Powers, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
If he is or not. He was, I believe, in the Guard of the Reserves when he served.
Okay.
And he's one of their members. He's listed on their website, which you can find. I have the phone number for their press person that I can either give on the air or give to your producer.
Can you email that to us?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And I also wanted to agree with your previous caller about the contractors. Last weekend there was an article in the New York Times, an extensive 6-page article about the amount of contracting, private contracting that is being done by this administration. It's up 70% from what it was under the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have so many contractors working that they hired one of the contractors to review other contractors' billing
hmm.
to see if it
hmm.
was appropriate or not. They hired the organization called CACI, which are the people who supplied the abusive interrogators at Apple Grabe to review other people's contracts, charging us over $100 an hour for these private contractors to review other private contractors. So the person who made Iraq for Sale, I can't think of his name right now, would be an excellent person to interview about contracting in Iraq.
Okay. Okay, good suggestion. Thanks, Susie.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Let's pause for a moment. Open line for February is what we have going on right now. 800-486-8655 is our number. 227-2050 in Milwaukee. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 10 o'clock this morning, hydrogen. We'll be talking about hydrogen. The president, as you know, in his State of the Union, announced a $1.2 billion research initiative. So we'll be looking at the prospects for hydrogen cars. There have been studies raising doubts about the prospects for hydrogen cars. Is this the energy of the future? We'll have two guests with us, and I know that you'll have many questions for our guests as well, so that's coming up the second hour. 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Irene from Milwaukee, hello.
Hi. I heard Neil Conan one day, and he had a reporter from Iraq, who is an Iraqi, Ahmed Abdullah. And I don't know anything more because I caught the end of the interview, but I heard in his voice such sorrow for what is going on with the Iraqi people. I think maybe we might get an idea if we could talk to this Ahmed Abdullah exactly what is going on there, because he was very open and very, it was just so touching. Every time you hear about a bomb going off there, you hear about 60 people dead, 200 people wounded. What is happening to those 200 people wounded? You know, with their legs and eyes and arms missing and stuff, and there's no facilities to take care of them. Our soldiers at least get taken care of. And he was just so touching. You could hear in his voice the sadness that must be going on with the Iraqi people, and I would just love to hear him interviewed.
Is he the guy, I heard this, and it was one of those interviews that made me stop the car to listen. Is he the reporter whose wife just gave birth, and they were, the hospital that was closest was either a Shia, I can't remember the details, or a Sunni. No, it was somebody else.
I don't think so. I think it was someone else, and I don't know how to spell it or anything else because I caught the end of it like you and stopped everything and started to listen because his voice just had such a touch in it, the same that I feel in my heart for these people, that I just couldn't believe it, but I am positive it was Neil Conan and it was Ahmed Abdullah.
Okay. We'll follow through on it. Thank you, Irene.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bob is next from Poplar. Hi, Bob.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to hear Jeremy Scahill, who writes for The Nation magazine, on your program sometime. Maybe he's been there and I haven't heard him.
But yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. He covers topics like the somewhat $20 billion that was stolen, the Iraqi money, the Blackwater and other security companies that Homeland Security hired to guard the people in Iraq, and also get involved with Katrina. They were also there.
Okay, so he would be a good guest then for that issue. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, for your call. Doug is next. Hi, Doug.
Hello.
Hello.
Recently, there was a show on talking about the paycheck places or cash now stuff.
Payday loans,
Yes, and actually it made me think about another problem with the finance charges for through banks and credit card companies and stuff, and as far as, you know, the how the laws have changed to extremely favor these institutions and charge these terrible interest rates, and I was wondering if you could maybe do a show on that, and, you know, like, I mean, if you write a bunch of checks and you're a little short in your account, they take the largest check, cash that, and then give you bank charges for five checks that they could have paid first. And I think there needs to be some revision of laws to protect people from these unreasonable fees. You know, you get a credit card at a 0% interest rate, and then they can just decide they're going to change it to 30%.
Right.
And there's nothing to stop them from doing any of those things. And I think it's affecting the people with the least amount of income by far the most.
Mm-hmm. I think you're onto a good show, Doug. I was thinking about that when we were talking about those payday loan stores, the exorbitant interest rates for just your credit cards. They're,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do it. I promise.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
Doug. Uh-huh. Bye. Wayne is next from Green Bay. Hi, Wayne.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen. See, I'd like to see a program on about trade policies. You know, across this country, there's plant closings, communities being devastated, families being devastated, and it's all due to these trade policies, we think. But so I'd like to have you have an expert on there who could tell us about trade policy, and including, you know, for example, tariffs. I understand in the very near future we're going to be having vehicles coming in here from China with just a 2.5% tariff on. But yet, if we send a Chevrolet or a Ford over to China, it's got a 25% tariff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. That's shutting down our plants.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to have you think about having a program on that.
All right. Well, we haven't done a show on that in a long time. It would be a good program.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne.
Bye.
Bye. Ann from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I guess I don't know if I have a specific idea, but I've always wondered why when... Like right now, the United States has gone into Iraq, and we're attempting to set up a democratic government when our own government isn't working that well, and our own elections aren't unquestionable, and why we insist on doing that in those countries.
Okay. So let's just narrow this down a little bit. You're looking at problems with voting in the United States, lack of democracy in the United States, or our foreign policy?
What makes you know, the people who make these decisions think that we can set up this great democratic process in a foreign country when we can't even, when our own isn't very good?
Okay. Democracy at home, question mark, I see, is a show. All right, Ann. Thank you.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Goodbye. Matthew is next. Hi, Matthew.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'd like to see maybe a slightly different topic. There's a article in the Wisconsin State Journal several days ago about the failure of the Space Telescope Hubble's main camera system and how it's putting a lot of research that's being done at the UW in astronomy and at several other places on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a fascinating subject to get one of the professors that was mentioned in the article on to find out what the future of astronomy is going to be going forward now that we've lost the main camera system that we use to view those distant galaxies.
That's a good idea, Matthew.
Okay.
When was the article in the paper?
It was in the Wisconsin State Journal. I want to say it was on the front page or it was on in the... I don't know. It just stuck out to me because I walked into the lunchroom and I saw a picture of the telescope on there and it kind of attracted me and I started reading and I was surprised to see that the camera system was no longer working.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, Matthew, it's a good idea for a show, and I thank you.
Thanks.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. Goodbye. Blue from Richland Center. Hi.
Hi, just two quick suggestions. One would be someone to speak against the NAIS, the National Animal Identification System, that's trying to take hold right now. Basically, it's going to hurt smaller farms and small local, you know, organic farms and homesteaders and things like this, kids taking animals to 4-H projects. And so someone to talk about that. And then the other suggestion I have was a woman who did a documentary on genetically modified foods. Her name is Deborah Coons Garcia. And I believe the future of food... .com is the website, and there's a documentary available there. But I just think these are a couple of things that are happening underneath the radar, pressing forward, and people really aren't getting the information just because so much airwaves is taken up with talk about Iraq and the elections and stuff like this. But I think they're important issues.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Blue, for the call.
Yep.
Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hello. I would like to make the suggestion that you get a representative of a group called the Wild Farm Alliance. They've done a lot of work in the driftless area of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Ohio, and they're trying to bring the idea of bringing wilderness back onto farms.
Hmm.
They see that these isolated pockets of wilderness, like reserves and parks and so forth, don't always bring the kind of results we want. They're, without the wooded corridors and fence lines and all these kind of things that could be on farms and were in the past when farms were more natural and tended to be much smaller, that's the real way that we're going to bring some of the rare species back and so forth and
mm-hmm.
have a better wilderness situation overall.
Okay. Well, that's
And they have a website.
Yes.
wildfarmalliance.com.
Okay.
And I think it would be a real interesting hour.
I agree. Something very different. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye. Sean from Appleton is next. Hi.
Hi there. Yeah, I thought bringing up World Trade Center 7, the topic World Trade Center 7 to the forefront would be a very interesting topic. A lot of people don't even realize that the third building fell on that day. And there's actually been some recent revelations that have come out where New York Police Department, NYPD, and also New York Fire Department officials have come out talking about how they heard bombs going off in the building as it was falling, and also there was a lot of chatter on online saying that the building was going to get pulled. And Larry Silverstein also admitted, the leaseholder of the building said the building was going to get pulled on that day as well. So just a lot of things that people don't know about that would be a really interesting topic.
Thanks for the call. 800-486-8655. A couple minutes left and a couple lines are open. So if you've had a hard time getting through, please call right now and we can get as many suggestions as possible. 800-486-8655. Don from Milwaukee, hello.
Hi. Kathleen, do a program on the comparing the build-up to the Iraq war with the present build-up to the propaganda build-up to the Iran war by the administration.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't done very much on Iran lately. We have about a month ago, but
yeah, and I'm afraid that it's going to come and hit us just the way Iraq did.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Okay, bye.
Our phone number, 800-486-8655, 227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, we have a few minutes left. If you can't get through this morning, please send us emails. And you can do so by emailing, my address is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. And we always like to hear from you. You can send us a letter, too, or give us a phone call as well if you can't get through today. But we do open lines once a month. We go next to Scott from Hammond. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Calling, I'd like to have you get someone from the public instruction on. To talk about the difference in costs and funding and who public schools have to service as opposed to private schools, and why private schools sometimes get talked about as being cheaper per student than public schools, and what the reasons are for that.
Okay. Funding of schools. Okay. All right, Scott.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yep.
800-486-8655. Ben from Rhinelander is next. Hello, Ben.
Hi.
Hi.
My topic I'd like to see is on county or municipality overlay districts. Up here in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, Oneida County, we have we're able to zone out homes of a certain width and a certain square footage, even though these homes might meet UDC, Wisconsin Uniform Dwelling Code. And I just like to see a topic on that.
You're going to have to send me some information on it because I'm not very familiar with that one, Ben. So
will do.
All righty.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks
Bye-bye.
Very much for the call. Well, we might have time for one more phone call. Just a reminder that we're talking about hydrogen, the second hour of our program today. And we will have another open line when it comes to the month of March, but certainly send us your suggestions all the time. It just doesn't need to be just during our open line. It's just once a month we reserve this hour for you and give you a chance to give us your ideas. We have a time for one more very quick call. Lisa from Black River Falls. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I just have two quick suggestions. You had a great show the other day on children with autism, and I thought a show about children with Down syndrome would be also very interesting.
Okay.
And also, they're called CSAs, community-supported agriculture programs, where there are farms that grow produce and people subscribe to.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so those are my two suggestions.
All right, I like them, Lisa. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Morning.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. We are out of time. Thanks to John Treader for taking all the calls here. And thanks for all the calls. See, I got my paper, got all these suggestions down. We had some 38 suggestions, and we'll get more, I'm sure, with our emails. So thanks for all of those calls. Again, email us or send us a letter. We're based here in Milwaukee, so it's 111 East Kilburn, KILBOURN. Wisconsin Public Radio, Milwaukee. The zip is 53202. Isn't that funny? We're so used to emails, we never give the address. But you could sure write us a letter. We'd like to get one. News ahead. We will return on the Ideas Network.